Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome in, pro wrestling fans. Welcome in, Busted Open Nation. Here on a Saturday, it is time for the weekend edition, podcast edition of Busted Open. I'm Ryan McKinnell. Got the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, along as our tag team partner here on this weekend. And on this show, we dive in headfirst to last night on a Friday. No, not Rampage and not SmackDown today on this Saturday. We are talking about Impact and Hard to Kill, the pay-per-view in Atlanta going off last night. And speaking of going off, our own Mickey James getting the dub in the main event, once again becoming Impact World Champion. We talk at length about what that means for right now and what it means for the future of the Impact division, as well as our own hardcore country yourself, Mickey James. We also look at, speaking of our own, Bully Ray was in action last night at Hard to Kill, taking on Josh Alexander. He calls into the show and gives us an update on how he's feeling and what we can expect for the future of Bully Ray in Impact. And it wouldn't be a Saturday show here on Busted Open if we didn't give you the best show that was in the week of professional wrestling with our weekly winner. So sit back, relax, and click play. Let's get it going. Busted Open on Saturday. Mickey James is your Impact Knockouts World Champion in what was a fantastic main event, Mark. And one of the things that we're not talking about, or we haven't talked about, we're going to talk about everything. We got 3 hours to do it, and thank goodness we do here on this Saturday. But I was talking in the break with Ariel Simpson, our great producer over there, holding down the ones and twos, and she was talking in break, because obviously, you know, I teased, we're going to talk about Mickey. We're going to come back talking about Mickey. And she's like, you know, what was so great last night, Ariel, and this was the thing you pointed out, right? We had the stories, we had the match itself, we had the outcome, but Ariel, what was your favorite part of last night?
Oh, her entrance and her ring gear, it was phenomenal. And that's just because it has something to do with my background as well, and then her history. So it just meant a lot to see her representing that Native heritage just out.
Yeah, Mark, the entrance, the full Native American, just sort of, I guess the art, the expo, I don't know, like the way you want to put it. It was obviously an homage to her heritage. Ariel, you put it out there. And I had no idea about this. We've worked with Ariel now for quite some time. Ariel's grandfather, Ariel, was a full-blooded Cherokee. And this was one of those moments where I felt like it was done so, so well, right? It felt like it gave homage in the rightest of ways to that heritage, to that history. And I felt like it really also added to the moment for, yes, the Ariel Simpsons out there and for the people who feel the direct tie, or just any, you know, red-blooded American who feels pride in this great, you know, country that we call home.
Man, I've rode the highways with Mickey James, and we've talked so many times about her Indian heritage and our Native American heritage.
Sure, sure.
My wife has pictures of family members 100 years old that you look and you go, okay, that's an American Indian person.
Sure.
Like, you know, this world is so mixed up. This nation is so mixed up. I have it in my family as well. But I remember having a conversation with Mickey and Gerald Briscoe as well.
Mm.
And how proud they are of their heritage and where they come from. And for Mickey to go out there and show how proud she was, not only to show how proud she was, but to pay homage to where she came from. And that added to the match. It added a sense of feeling that very few wrestlers get to do it. Rey Mysterio, I've seen him do it 1,000 times.
Sure.
You know, Rey wears it on his sleeve. But man, Mickey did it so big last night. And just proud to know her as a person and as a wrestler. Her husband is one of the coolest guys I've ever met in my life. And when we just being around those two people, it makes you feel hope for wrestling. I hope that more people come into our industry that are like those people.
That's a high endorsement there from the World's Strongest Man. Mark Henry talking about the great Mickey James and Nick Aldis. That definitely, on some level, it felt like a family affair last night. It felt like, as I say, a family affair, a pro wrestling family, because so many of us have been riding with Mickey for all of these years. I don't say it as a colleague here on Busted Open. I say that as a fan, someone who's, you know, obviously been watching Mickey for a very long time, like so many of the Nation members out there, to have that moment come full circle. And you know what? The entrance was great. The match was great. The moment was great. But you know what I really liked? And this is really indicative of the sort of breadcrumb storytelling, the layered storytelling that Impact really did last night. And get a little bit into this, the fact that the dignitaries were there, right? We saw so many of, you know, Mickey's former friends, former opponents, former colleagues, right? Her family was in attendance. The media rounds that Mickey was doing leading up into this match, right? Like, you're thinking, like, she's talking about the match. She's talking about the moment. She's talking about her career. I'm going into last night. Oh, shit. You know, Mickey's in the main event. Oh, man, this is going to be Mickey's last match, right? It's all the things, all the tales, and all the tells, I should say, are there that are telling me as a fan, oh, my God, I'm going to be watching Mickey James's last match. Right? In just a few hours, and it didn't happen. Mickey prevailed, and now she's going to have a run as Impact World Champion. I just love the way the whole thing was handled going into that main event last night, Mark.
She did everything but wear the orange coat, the pink jacket. And it was, I mean, it's the template has been set. I mean, you go on social media, when people say retired, they say Mark Henry.
Yeah, for sure. And the salmon suit, you referenced Mickey it, James, man. How can you not?
Did a hell of a job selling this, and she yes. did the complete opposite of what I did, which was actually really retire. Mickey James is now in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And we could talk about how she got there all we want to. The thing now is, who's next? Like, you know, I don't think that it's a foregone conclusion to think that now Mickey should do play the hits, that she should put an open challenge out against the top contenders, the Tasha Steeles. Like, come on, let's go. Every week she can pick somebody, and it don't have to be just people at Impact.
That's a great point.
The beauty of where she is.
Well, there was a woman, Mark, in the last three or so weeks since you and I have been on the air due to the holiday season, right? There's a woman that stepped foot in Japan, Mercedes Moné.
Oh.
Right now. Oh. Now, listen,
big money,
that's a
brother.
Great match.
And big money.
Big money, Mark. And I feel like we've seen them in a squared circle at different points just because they did overlap, obviously, there in the WWE. But if you gave them the time, you gave them the moment, Mark, you gave them a main event to work a match at this point in Mickey's sort of twilight, right? We don't know exactly how much longer she's going to be around. Hopefully for a while, she has shown how dominant she was last night, right? But we don't know what an actual match between Mercedes and Mickey would look like. And you know, Mercedes would love to give the fans that.
Oh, you know she would. And the thing about it, Ryan, is the iron is hot now.
Yes.
This is not one of those that you wait a year down the road to do.
Agreed.
Is you start working to it immediately, because alternate sites, you know, you don't have to do it at Impact. You don't have to do it in Japan. Like, where, you know, like, let the fans decide. Stipulations. What kind of match would it be? I mean, like, man, there's so much that could be done, and to build a match like that with two outstanding
yes.
female talents, that you know that it would draw money. You know it'll draw money.
100%. And that's what's exciting about it, right? As you talk about Mickey James being Impact World Champion, once again, the draw is there. The money is there. There are so many possibilities. You just brought it up as we were talking about Jordynne Grace and the work that she did with this title. No question. Definitely deserve to give her flowers. It was an incredible run, and it was probably one of many that we're going to see from Jordynne, right? And I'm sure she's going to be on the warpath trying to get her belt back. But you mentioned another woman that was linked to Jordynne Grace over the last few months, Masha Slamovich. Masha Slamovich and Mickey James. That is going, because I mean, Mark, that's going to happen, right? I would imagine we're going to be seeing that, right? That whole roster now benefits from what we got last night. Main event placement, legend, Jordynne Grace, the future, the present in a lot of ways. There's so many good things happening with that Impact roster, specifically through the lens of the women, Mark.
Oh, for sure, man. You know, I picked Masha as my top female performer of the future. I have to put Jamie Hayter in that crew now with the crowd choosing her. But, like, this is before Jamie was getting her run. And now Masha is one of those talents, man, that you know that at any moment, if you decide to build for the future, you can put her in there and not miss a beat.
Yep.
That's how good she is. You know, she can carry the women's division over there at Impact. And that's a good place to be able to, your boss, to know, hey, I'm ready whenever y'all are. And and the fans approve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is a good problem to have when you sit there and you look at the talented roster at Impact and the matches that we're going to get. But here's the other thing. And you kind of alluded to this, right? We'll see what you know, the scope of this actually reaches. But when Mickey James is your world champion, people are going to be calling, right? People are going to be knocking down that door. That's not to say that wasn't happening with Jordynne Grace or, you know, the other Deonna Purrazzo or the other great champions they've had there. But Mickey James, Tasha Steele, absolutely. But Mark, when Mickey is the prize, when she is the one holding that strap, all eyes turn to her in a little bit of a different way. And this gives the opportunity and it lights a fire for a lot of the other competitors around the world. They're going to be staring down Mickey James and what this now means, because listen, Mark, as we headed into last night, Hard to Kill, it felt like we might be watching the last match of Mickey James's career, but that is not the case. We are going to be getting plenty more, which means plenty great more matches and more intrigue as we continue to follow one of the best careers, Mark, in terms of the ladies or men's period. You talk about multiple companies. Yeah. You talk about the championships occurred. You talk about the matches and the moments. Mickey James, man, keeps giving us those moments.
Bro, cream rise to the top. Yeah. You look at where Mickey James has come from. You know, at Ohio Valley, she was the top. She got to the WWE. She was at the top.
Immediately.
She went to NWA. Went to the top. Now she's at Impact, and she is the top. Bro. Like, she's undeniable. Everywhere she ever been, she had that level of success. So it's only fitting now that somebody like Mickey James goes beyond where she is and becomes a true world champion and start the battle with the women in Japan. Start the battle with the women at AEW. MLW, you name a place, let Mickey do it. And this will cement her as a Mount Rushmore type performer. And I know she wants that. I know,
and rightfully so. Absolutely. I mean, and you talk about a Mount Rushmore legacy that she is leaving. What a Mount Rushmore type year this woman has had, right? Like, it just like,
bro,
when you
they
look,
brought her to Royal Rumble last
that's
year.
That's what I'm saying. A year
WWE
ago, bro.
Was like, you're so good on Impact and yep. Where you are at another place. We want to have you come.
When does that
come
happen?
On, man? They it never happens. They
never look, happened.
They haven't done it with no men.
Nope. Nope.
They haven't done it with nobody else. Yep. The WWE said, basically, Mickie James is the cream of the crop.
Hey everyone, it's Howard Bender from the Andy Up Podcast. Every weekday, Adam Ronis and I serve you up the picks, plays, and fantasy information needed to win your bets. You know, this isn't just your average sports betting show, though, for one very good reason. We won't tell you what to do unless we've already done it ourselves. That's right. We put our money where our mouths are, so we're just as invested in each bet as you are. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the SXM app, free for most subscribers.
It is the one and only Bully Ray. He is on the phone line, Mark, and he is joining us right now. What's up, Bully?
All right, Mark, here's your chance. I just texted you, and I asked you if you saw my match last night. You said yes. I was calling to see what you guys thought about the match, see what the nation thought about the match. You know, I'm the guy that comes on Busted Open, and I break everything down, and I put it under a microscope, and I'll tell you about the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes.
And I'll, you know, I'll put a match over when it deserves to be put over, and if I have to tighten the screws, I will. So I'm calling my fellow Hall of Famer here, and I'm asking him, what'd you think?
Well, I'm going to give you the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm going to start with the bad. The cheese grater, like, I never saw you do the cheese grater thing. And when you pulled the cheese grater out and you held it up in the air like a production of it, and then you went, and then, of course, it ended up being used on you. I was pretty, like, you know, for lack of a better term, grossed out, because you know me, I don't like scary stuff, and blood does that to me. But the bad of it was that it was so bad that it was good. And you wouldn't have called in tonight or this morning if you didn't know the good of it was that you shine like a motherfucking light. Like, you did your thing, and you build somebody in the process.
Yeah.
And you help build somebody. Josh is a champion. He's already championship material. But we were just saying about Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman hasn't had anybody that made him look good. He needed the Alpha and Omega. You need the antithesis. And you gave that to Josh last night. I'm unbelievably blown away with your work as a singles wrestler. You and it's a short list. It's a short list of tag wrestlers that were equally as good of a singles wrestler. Short list. Maybe 10 guys that I can look at in history that did what you did last night. And I'm not just going to put people over because I know them or whatever. You earned that shit. Like, it was a good match. It's a memorable match. And you did something that you told Mickie James last week on the radio. Nobody was talking about Impact like they're talking about Impact till you arrived. When you are a draw, and you have your match, regardless of whether it's a cage match, a traditional match, or a hardcore match, or whatever it is, if you draw the house, all I want to hear is one thing from everybody when they see me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sellout's a sellout. Sellout is a sellout, and it was a sellout last night in Atlanta at Hard to Kill, Bully. Listen, man, you talked about your being sore. I know the match didn't go your way. I can only imagine how you feel here on a Saturday. What is it? What does the future look like? I know you're kind of tight-lipped. You wanted to hear about the match, but I mean, there are a lot of people that are genuinely curious. I would imagine on some level, revenge is on your mind. Where do you stand? Not even 24 hours later.
I'm going to be sticking around for a while, and revenge is definitely on my mind. Whether that's with Josh Alexander, whether that's with his wife, whether that's with Tommy Dreamer. So we'll see what's going to happen. I am going to stick around. Last night was a very violent, very brutal match. as a Full Metal Mayhem match always is. And I genuinely, Mark, I would have called in no matter what this morning, because when you take a match like that and you put it together, there's going to be so much violence, but how do you make sense of it all? So when I tell my stories week after week after week, I always wanted to culminate with a match that kind of looks like the end of an action movie, the final scene of an action movie where the good guys and the bad guys fight and the bad guy finally gets his and the good guy gets the girl and everybody gets to celebrate. And that's the vision I had in my mind for for last night. So did it come across that way?
Oh, I mean, Mark, it absolutely did. Yeah. And again, I love the way, and Bully, I love the way that it kicked off the show too, because it allowed Mickey to have the moment, but it also, it allowed you to set the table. You talked about the violence. You talked about the moment. Mark, I felt like that really set the table and really raised the bar. We talked about Macklin and Swan in the match they delivered, right? I feel like Alexander and obviously Bully on the other end of there really set the table for the violence and the moments that were to come.
Ryan, Bully starting set the pace for the show.
Yes.
I want to be in the main event or I want to be in the opening match. He set the tone. Rich Swann then wouldn't have had the match that they had if he hadn't set that tone. Mickey James and Jordan Grace, they would have had a great match, but of they course. Would not have had that energy that I want to show out because of where the show started. And to the point of what Bully said when he came on, he said he wanted the good, the bad, and the ugly of it. Mm-hmm. I gave him the bad. I gave him the good. Now, the ugly of it is I've never in my career had a cheese grater put to me. And I never will, just so you know.
I mean, we could work on that.
No. Thank you. But
speaking of revenge, I'm sure you guys could work some stuff out between the ropes.
Hey, our shit is fixed. It's solved. No, thank you.
Mark, it's easy for me to say because I'm just sitting here on the other side of I'm a big dumb idiot yelling into a microphone, right? But Bully, it's a small part of it that felt a little good, right? Feel a little bit alive, go out there and bleed, kick off the show and get that violence back in your life. That had to feel good on some level.
No, it feels great. And a lot of people don't realize the importance of being on first. You know, I did an interview last week in the UK. I did a bunch of interviews in the UK. And one of the guys that I spoke with asked me about passing the torch down to the next generation. And I said, I don't believe in passing down the torch. I believe in the next generation taking the torch. If you can take the torch from me, then you can have it. But I'm not giving it up, okay? And that's kind of the way I look at being in the first match. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to go out there with whoever it is, and I'm going to set such a blistering pace and such a blistering tone to the whole show that basically it's like holding a gun to the head of the rest of the show and telling them, go ahead, go out there and try to follow that. And if you can't follow that, well, then you don't belong on the card. But as we saw last night with Hard to Kill, the locker room really stepped up, tore it down. Every match followed. But that's the beauty of being on first. And I learned that from Vince McMahon, because Vince McMahon would put me and Devon on first all the time because he really liked the pace that we set. And the tone that we set for the entire show. So win, lose, or draw, it's all about the bigger picture. The bigger picture is the entire pay-per-view. And I think Hard to Kill knocked it out of the park last night.
Yes.
And congratulations to Mickey James on winning her match and the women taking it home strong.
Hey everyone, Jen Piacenti here, host of Sticks and Stacks, the podcast that brings you the very best action from the world of hockey and baseball. Each week, myself, Sean Drotar, and Nate Lundy will bring you our best picks and talk you through the props, bets, and fantasy advice that can help you become the best fantasy manager in your league, or even just help you win some money. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the SXM app. Free for most subscribers.
We're about to give you the best show that was in the week of professional wrestling. Mark Henry, we're starting on a Monday like we start every single weekly winner. And as Monday kicked off, I can't not think about Monday Night Raw and not think about the man who's really been anchoring it for quite some time and continues to do great work. The show kicked off with Kevin Owens, and for good reason. Baron Corbin showed up, a little bit of a in between there with JBL, but again, a 3-hour show. We got a little package from Cody Rhodes, had some good matches in there. Solo Sikoa and Dolph Ziggler was in there on a Monday night. Good show. Not in my weekly winner category though for this week.
No, Monday was a good show. There was a lot that they could hang their hat on, be proud of. But it was, you know, without Kevin Owens and Baron Corbin, and without the match that Solo had with Dolph.
Fresh out of jail, Dominic Cruz, Dominic Mysterio, Cholo Dominic Mysterio, fresh out of jail, is becoming highly enjoyable. I will give him
that. It is. Even though we know better. But like that's the beauty of it. We all know better and are entertained by it. But like still.
Yeah.
It was a good show.
We go into Wednesday and listen, Mark, I got to be honest. It was a fine week, solid shows all around. But as we look at Dynamite, we look at Los Angeles, you look at just the way the show kicked off. Hangman Page and Jon Moxley, not just the match, but the fact that Page gets the pin clean coming off the Buckshot Lariat in what was a fantastic match, right? That wasn't enough. In that same first hour, Bryan Danielson and Takeshita.
There's no secret that, you know, Takeshita is one of my favorites. And I do play favorites. And when I talk to him, he listens. Unreal athlete. Explosive. And he loved wrestling, though. But I can see him at the end of the road facing a Bryan Danielson, and it won't be the same. Once he catches up, everybody on this roster is going to be looking at the lights because that dude is on – his way. We got
put him on a pay-per-view, man. Let's get that full picture. Let's get that full picture painted, because again, that was just an appetizer. That was just a glimpse, and my, what a lovely glimpse that it was. And that entire show, the tag match and the sort of letdown for some, the people that were expecting a potential Mercedes Moné appearance, that obviously didn't happen, but that's okay. Hayter and Baker delivered against Saraya and Tony Storm in a big way.
And the return of Adam Cole.
Oh, my goodness. As we talk about a Wednesday, you talk about deservedly so. What an awesome promo. Almost a version of the pink suit, right? A little bit of a swerve. I got some good news, bad news. Then he hits you with, well, here's the bad news. Y'all are effed.
Bro, I was so excited. And it couldn't happen for a nicer dude either. Yeah. Like, you know, I may be going behind the curtain too far, but like, I don't know if I know a nicer dude than Adam Cole. And I want the best for him, and I'm glad that he's healthy, and I'm glad that he's about to come in and start kicking faces in.
Absolutely.
Because he is deserving of that spot. You talk about pops and reactions. When he comes to the ring, there's very few people that get the reaction that he does.
Absolutely. And absolutely. And you talk about
babyface.
Yeah,
I think he's going to kill it.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to the future for Adam Cole.
We talked about this like it's a foregone conclusion
Well,
of who's the weekly winner.
Well, I was setting it up before we got on the call, but I'm glad you brought up Adam Cole and his return in the promo, because that does bear mentioning, and it is a big factor into Weekly Winner. But Mark, what I was getting to as we pivot from Wednesday, and again, respect to Thursday, that was more of a video packaged heavy go home show for Impact. So they weren't in Weekly Winner for me. Although if we did include pay-per-views, Hard to Kill would definitely put them in that contention. But alas, we do not include pay-per-views. So for me, Mark, it was Wednesday and it was Friday. It was SmackDown. When you look at SmackDown with Gunther and Strowman beginning the show, when you look at Sammy and KO ending, some good stuff in between. As good as SmackDown was, as compelling as the Bloodline story was, this wasn't a particularly close week for me, Mark. Some weeks are, and I'm honest about that. But for me, this was a home run win, a foregone conclusion almost for Wednesday and Dynamite. It was just too good. There were too many good matches. Three great matches, man. Moxley and Hangman, Takeshita Danielson, and the best of seven trios match in the main event. Oh, and a great return from Adam Cole. And you could honestly go on and on. Hater being and over. It was a banger show.
And I'm going to tell you, like, Darby Allin and Juice Robinson on Rampage was live as hell. The street fight with Ruby and Willow and Anna Jay and Ty Mello was... I don't remember the last time that I heard the term bloodbath as it relates to a women's match. Maybe Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker.
There you go. But,
like, it's very rare that you have a situation like they had. And I give them all the respect in the world, and I do not throw shade when I say that that show was not Wednesday. Brother was a monster.
It really was.
You had a guy that won a Golden Globe come out on the show and get hit in the head with a guitar. And it didn't even make the top five.
It's a good point.
I'm just saying.
Hey.
Am I being an asshole? That guy won a Golden Globe the night before.
And showed up. And also, as you shout out Cobra Kai, in that Golden Globe, right?
Shout out to Cobra Kai.
Right. Also on the same vein, right? It giving us the Bully Ray shout out and the Get the Tables at the actual Golden Globes. Like, come on, man. and again. I don't want to discredit any other shows for the last year maybe a little less. It's been razor close almost every week, but this felt like a little bit of a return to a couple years ago when it just felt like every single Wednesday was Dynamite. This is a little bit of a return to that. Dynamite was just head and shoulders for me, right? With the way we've covered this and we laid it out, I think we made a pretty compelling case. Might be a little biased. I just think that AEW Dynamite for this week was head and shoulders above everybody else. So salute to them. Salute to everybody involved. And I will say this, if we included pay-per-views, I think you would agree Hard to Kill would have gave them some serious run for their money, but we don't include pay-per-views. Right.
But we don't include the pay-per-views, and everybody was good. But hey, like we always say,
if you ain't
you're
first,
not first,
that's right.
You're last. And
so,
I give it.
I was going to say.
To Wednesday.
There you go.
And that is Dynamite.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. The producer is Gabby Laspisa. The associate producer is Andre Viola. Sound design by Mary Bailon. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, the legendary Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Mother Marissa Rivas.